James 3 and 13 says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. The word of the Lord says, for where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work, not just evil work, but every evil work. But the wisdom that's from above, somebody say from above, is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits. Brother Mercy, say amen. Without partiality and without hypocrisy. So we've been talking about all the other ones. Tonight we're going to talk about without partiality and without hypocrisy. God bless you as you're seated in the presence of the Lord. It's been some time since I've taught on Wednesday, but thank the Lord for ministry and Stronger Families Week last week. Well, it was a blessing. And so each of you, and wow, Sunday, the crowd was amazing and the worship was awesome. And tonight, thank the Lord for what he's doing. And so James was the leader of the Jerusalem church. He's writing to the first century Christians who were scattered abroad. The scripture tells us, James 1 and 1 talks about to the 12 tribes to which are scattered abroad, and he sends this greeting. And the recipients of this letter were Christians that were scattered from Jerusalem because of persecution. And we know that in Acts 11 and 9, it kind of gives us this platform of why it was that. Now, they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose. And they left, they went to these places, but they, because they were the church, and the church was not only scattered abroad, but the gospel, the Acts 2:38 message, the plan of salvation, went with them because it was who they were. And they went preaching the word to none, but unto the Jews only. Notice this. And the scripture tells us in Acts 8 and 1 about great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions. And we know they were scattered abroad as Jesus had told them and told us in Acts 1 and 8. For ye shall be witnesses unto me in Judea, or Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And James 1 and 2 tells us, he writes and he tells us, to count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. And so when you read the epistle of James, you understand that he's not writing to a church like he did in Corinth. He is not writing to deal with any church issue or problem. He's writing, as we would understand, to encourage, to strengthen, to help the Christians that are going through a difficult time of testing, and sin was around, and the scripture tells us where sin doth abound, grace does much more abound. And so we understand, in fact, I would encourage you that if you have not read the book of James, it's only 5 chapters long. It is what we would understand as Bible students. It would be the proverb of the New Testament. There's just so many good scriptures, Bible verses in the book of James, and it's very encouraging. But we understand about the wisdom from above. The wisdom of this world, as the scripture tells us, is sensual, it's earthly, it's devilish. And the scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 19, it says, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. And Job actually tells us in Job 5 and 13 that the Lord traps the wise in their own cleverness, so their cunning schemes can be thwarted. And so I just lay this platform for those that maybe are trying to catch up, those that are listening or watching at a later time. But the scripture is very clear about something in James 1 and 8. It tells us that a double-minded man is unstable in some of his ways, and so in all his ways, in all. Somebody say all. And so we've got to understand that if you need wisdom, you need to ask God for wisdom. The scripture tells us in James 1 and 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. It doesn't say ask the pastor. No. It says let him ask of God. And so how you ask God is you pray.
Yes.
You know, I can't go very long without talking about prayer. I want to commend you on the pre-service prayer tonight. But we have to pray and ask God. And the scripture says that he giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. It was the wisest man, and what we would know today also as the most wealthiest man in all the world, Solomon. He did not ask for riches. He did not ask for fame. He did not ask for dominion over his adversaries, but he asked the Lord in 2 Chronicles. We understand he asked the Lord in 2 Chronicles 1. He asked the Lord for wisdom. He said, give me wisdom and knowledge to lead these people who you have called me to lead. And so you cannot just sit back and expect to make decisions living in this world, living in what we will understand biblically as perilous times, as the end time, and try to walk down your own path without the help of the Holy Ghost. You need not only to live in the Spirit, you need to walk in the Spirit. In order to be walking in the Spirit, we need to do, as the Scripture says, to be filled with the Spirit. So I'll just stay right here just for a moment and say, if you have not received the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, I got great news for you. It's free. It's available today. I don't give it to you. Nobody seated next to you will give it to you. It comes from the Lord. The sister read it, quoted it earlier. But Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. And you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And you're going to go down and as we're going to see tonight, be baptized and fully immersed in water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And that is something to be excited about, something to pursue, something to say, you know what, I not only repented, but I've been baptized, I've been filled with the Holy Ghost, now I'm living a life that is pleasing to God, and I'm walking on this journey with the Lord.
Amen.
All right, so wisdom from above. Let's look what we understand tonight talks about without partiality and without hypocrisy. And if you're taking notes tonight, the first point tonight is the wisdom from above shows no favoritism. I know that there's favoritism in the corporate world. There's favoritism in society, right? The VIPs. There's favoritism in politics, but there's no favoritism when you're serving the Lord. There's no grandkids in God's kingdom. We're all His children. And the wonderful thing is that you may or may not have a past that you are proud of, but when you come into the church, when you are repenting of your sins, you're baptized in Jesus' name, you're filled with the Holy Ghost, the Scripture says you become a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And so we understand when the Scripture says that there is the wisdom that is from above is without partiality. This is the wisdom that of the Christians. We need to ensure that our wisdom, the knowledge that God has given us, the knowledge that you are seeking and pursuing, you need to read the Bible. You need to seek out knowledge, preaching and teaching and filling your mind and your hearts with not only with the gospel, but with godly principles. And the wisdom from above is without partiality. It's fair. It's not biased. It's just. It's neutral. It means that you tell the truth the first time.
Yep.
You don't change your story depending on the audience.
Exactly.
Right? You don't treat one group better than another group. You are the same in public as you are in your private life. Scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:58, be steadfast, be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Everything we do is a representation of the Lord. Amen. Remember, I mentioned it a second ago, but we are all the children of God. The scripture tells us in Psalm 103, it says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. And it goes on to say, we are his people. That's who you are.
Yeah.
The songwriter said a long ago, if anybody asks you who I am, tell them I'm a child of God. Yeah. That's who you are. And so the wisdom of this world is devilish, it's sensual, it's earthly, it's carnal. But the godly wisdom will look for ways to be without partiality. Non-discriminative. Not snooty.
Right.
Not snobby.
Right.
Not walking around like you've been eating pickles all day long.
Oh,
the wisdom that is from above does not discriminate when being friendly or sharing the gospel.
Right?
I heard one story of one preacher, a pastor of a sizable church, who dressed up like somebody that looked like they lived in the junkyard and sat in front of his church. And nobody asked him to come inside. Nobody asked him how he was doing. Nobody said hi. People looked at him kind of crazy. Why would this guy be sitting in front of our church? And he was the pastor, dressed up in costume. It wasn't Halloween time. He was just trying to prove a point that the gospel is for everybody, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Look, we're the body of Christ.
Amen.
That's who we are. And the body of Christ works together. They work together. Not against one another.
Right.
They work together. Somebody shout unity.
Unity.
There are different skill sets. There are different, what we would understand, personalities. There are different opinions and backgrounds. And the reality is some people are more faithful than other people, right? We know that. More dependable than others. I told somebody some time back, I said, I am never calling you if I break down on the side of the road because you don't ever answer my call. But you expect me to answer your call when you call me, dude. What? Don't work like that with me. Not gonna, come on, somebody. You may have been the only phone number I memorized. Aren't you glad that the Lord isn't that way with us?
Amen.
That he says, no, my child is calling me. They have a need. In the midnight hour, I'm available. I hear them. I'm going to talk to them. We should always be ready and available to share the gospel with somebody and not say, well, I don't got time for you, or you need to come to church on Sunday. What if they don't make it to Sunday? What if that is the only day and the appointed time for them and for you to share the gospel? We have got to use wisdom.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Acts 10 and 34 says, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Not smile at one another when you see each other in public. Blame it on the mask. Say, well, I'd wave because my mask was on, so they couldn't see. I wasn't wearing my teeth because I had my mask on, so it didn't matter. Just wave at them anyways. Galatians 3 and 28 says, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. You know, the gospel's not just for the broken. It's not just for the rich. In fact, the Bible says that it's difficult for a rich man to enter into the eye of the needle. Salvation is not just for America either.
No, it's not.
Aren't you thankful?
Amen.
I have found that the people that need the Lord the most are the ones that give the personification that they have it all together. It's a front. Just because they have money and nice things doesn't mean that they're happy.
Exactly.
Come on, somebody. Just because every time you see them, they seem happy, doesn't mean that they don't need Jesus or they are happy.
Right.
The wisdom of this world will say, they got everything and anything you can imagine. But the wisdom from above will say, you know what? They are lost. They don't know the Lord. They don't have the joy of the Holy Ghost. And I've got something on the inside. I've got something here in my mind, and I want to share it with them, because he that winneth souls is wise. So I'm not going to force myself on them, but I'm going to pray for them, and I'm going to look for a way to share the gospel with them.
Amen.
Somebody say amen. The wisdom from above will look through a different lens and remember the words of Jesus, Matthew 9 and 12. But when Jesus heard, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I'm good. Somebody gave me some candy before church, and I had dominion over it before I came out. I couldn't wait. Jesus says, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Addiction is not one-sided.
No, it's not.
Many of you were addicted before the Lord delivered you. So don't forget about where the Lord brought you from.
That's right.
You didn't always stay clean enough. You hit roadblocks. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Let's remember about the wisdom from above.
Amen.
The Bible says, ye that are spiritual, restore such a one.
That's it.
Yeah. Somebody close that door, please. Proverbs 10 and 23 says, it is as a sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding hath wisdom. We show some love and some compassion to those that maybe are evil in their ways. We don't have to blast them on social media, but we could pray for them. We don't have to have them over for Christmas dinner, but we could pray for them. We don't have to mad dog them, but we can pray for them.
Amen.
Think about the parable of the great banquet in Luke chapter 14 says, Jesus says, but that when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. And notice what it says. And thou shalt be blessed. A lot of times we see in folks that just want to be around the who's who.
Uh-oh.
Right? Name dropping.
Uh-oh.
Brand swagging.
Yeah.
Right? But you've got to remember, we don't fall into to conform to the rudiments of this world. So the Bible says, "Be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Bigger is not always better. Newer is not always the latest and greatest. Can I tell you, heaven and earth will pass away, but His word shall never pass away. Way. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying we are in the end time.
Yes, we are.
We need to use godly wisdom every day. And there is a time that the Lord has appointed to all of us. And he has called us for such a time as this.
Amen.
And so we need to make sure that we are not stingy with the gospel.
Amen.
We need to make sure that we are not reserving our Bible study time or our church invitation to people that will give our church or will give you a certain image. But we've got to understand that red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. That's why Jesus said, "Let your light shine before men." That sin is sin, but the blood of Jesus covers all sin. Let's not forget Romans 3 and 23. It says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Let's not get caught up in yourself and then stuck on the deceptions of this world.
Right.
2 Timothy 2 and 4 says, "No man," somebody say no man,
"no man,
that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life." We need to be about our Father's business, seeking first the kingdom of God. We need to remember that we are fishers of men.
Amen.
I gotta hurry. This can't go another way. We gotta remember that we are fishers of men. You know, some people go fishing and they like certain they're selective. They got certain lures and bait for certain kind of fish, right? But Jesus says, you are fishers of men. In Jesus' day, they fish with nets. They threw the nets out there. They worked together. They pulled the nets in. And whatever kind of fish was in the net is what they pulled up, and they processed it, and they dealt with it, and that's the kind of fishing that they did. Hey, we are not selective. The gospel is not selective on who gets saved and who doesn't get saved and who gets filled with the Holy Ghost and who doesn't get filled with the Holy Ghost. Come on, come all. Repent, be baptized, be filled with the Spirit, and live a holy and acceptable life unto God. The second point is, the wisdom that is from above is without hypocrisy. Mm-hmm. So the second point is, don't be a hypocrite,
exactly. But
be sincere.
Right.
Last thing I want is the kids to go out outside and say, "Pastor said don't be a hypocrite." But be sincere.
Yeah.
Without hypocrisy, it's what this is meaning. It means don't be an imposter or a phony or a pretender or someone who pretends to have virtues, morals, convictions, biblical principles, but they really don't. Right? It's a hypocrite is someone who wants some desirable or public approved attention and they perceive to be something that they're not. It was an actor that would wear different masks for different plays in the drama. Yeah. People have been wearing masks for a long time. Hey, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 24 and 16, a just man falleth seven times. But the difference between a just man and the wicked is a just man riseth up again. The wicked falls into mischief. People make mistakes. People sin. People change. Thank the Lord, people change. Circumstances change. Promises cannot always be kept. Life changes. We've got a big dose of that last 2 years, right? Some things are out of our control. I get it. But I'm talking about tonight our spiritual wisdom, our testimony, our relationship with the Lord. Let's not be hypocritical. Let's not be hypocritical. Don't talk about having faith and trusting God, but you won't come to church, but you'll get on an airplane. Just saying. Don't post on social media Bible verses, but not believe what you post. Have faith enough to go to school, but not faith enough to come to prayer meeting. I'm talking about the wisdom that's from above. Amen. You hear me? Is this all right? Listen, there's enough phony, enough fake. There's enough information, good today, bad tomorrow. There's enough people are they've had it up to here with dishonesty. They've had it up to here with counterfeit people, counterfeit money, counterfeit purses, counterfeit food. What people want, what people are looking for is something real, something that's going to change their marriage, something that's going to save their soul, something that they can leave to the next generation, something that they can be proud of, something that they can call on at any time, and the Lord hears them. So if you're being a hypocrite in the name of Jesus, stop. 1 Peter 2 and 1 says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking." We're the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth. City on a hill. Matthew 5 and 13 tells us that through 17. But notice what Luke 12 and 2 tells us. For just in case you're worried about somebody else. Just in case that's you. You just kind of, that just rises up in you every once in a while. Like once a week. Here's this. "For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed. Neither hid that shall not be known." Notice this. "Therefore, whatsoever we have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light." Not just from Siri. But notice this. "And that which you have spoken in the ear in the closet," or closet, "shall be proclaimed upon the housetops." So what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying love God. Love people. And move forward. Amen. Move forward in Jesus' name. I talked about it just a couple days ago with the original Firm Foundations team. It's kind of burning in me. I don't know if I will preach it here or somewhere else, but you know, there was a whole generation that they were a bunch of crybabies, bunch of whiners, right? Exodus chapter 1. They were so afraid of change that they were willing to go back to the bitterness of Egypt. "Would you bring me us out here because there was no graves in Egypt?" Really? After all the Lord did in Egypt? Really? Hey, don't be so afraid of change. "Well, we got to go back to the way things used to be." Really? The Lord parted the Red Sea. Million people walked across. And you know what the wonderful thing, Sister Violet, about Moses? Moses didn't have a clue what he was doing. He couldn't call Adam or Methuselah, right? "Hey, what do we do about this? I'm at the Red Sea. What do we do?" No. His eyes were on the Lord. They get to a place they had never been before, has never happened again, and the Lord said, "Put your rod, here we go." So awesome. We're still talking about it today. They're making movies about it, right? Because that's the God that we serve. So things are going to change, but the Word of God never changes. Notice this. 1 Peter 1 and 22. Is this okay tonight? Is this okay tonight? "Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth." Notice this. "Through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently." So if you love God, you'll do what His Word says. Right? Has anybody ever told you that I'll believe it when I see it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard it too. Right? Have you ever told anybody, well, I need to see action, not no talk. Don't be creeping around with her anymore. I need to see action. Right? Right? Well, how many of you by a show of hands know that we are what we do, not what we say? Just a few of you? I'm going to see a big class participation. There we go. All right. Notice what Scripture says. John 14 and 15. These are the words of Jesus. Yeah. If you love me, keep my commandments. Only if you love him.
Yeah.
How about this? 1 John 5 and 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. Notice this. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. Even our faith. Talking about the wisdom from above. When God's wisdom is at work, there's honesty. Right? Be honest about yourselves before the Lord. I find it as a pastor, I find it so comical. And I get it, but some folks are more worried about what I find out versus what God really knows.
Exactly.
Like, I understand you don't want to disappoint pastor, etc. I get that. But man, the Lord knows everything. The Bible says he's acquainted with all of our ways. This is a faithful saying, Paul says, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief or chef. I'm chief. And he goes on to tell us in 1 Corinthians 15 and 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. I'm flawed. I'm not perfect. I'll make mistakes. Don't know everything. Don't pretend to know everything. Bruised, battered, but I am what I am by the grace of God. I can't change my past. I can't go back and make everything right. And I can't stress out and worry and stay up all night worrying about the future. But I'm in the here and now. I'm living in the Spirit. I'm walking in the Spirit. I'm going to walk and teach in the Spirit. Saints of God, you are who you are. God has called you for such a time as this. Embrace it. Appreciate it. Live in it. God's about to do some things, not just for us, but for the church. That is going to blow. I feel like preaching. That's going to blow our mind. He tells us in Habakkuk, write the vision. Make it plain for they that are running can see it. Then he goes on to tell us later on when Habakkuk is crying and whining about what's going on and saying, don't you see what's going on? In the world, he said, if I told you what I was going to do, you couldn't handle it. For I will work, I feel like preaching, I will work a work in your day. Though it be told to you, you wouldn't even believe it. The wisdom of this world will tell you, time to bail out, time to give up, time to make some decisions. But the Bible says, he that endureth until the end, the same shall be saved. The musicians would make their way. We got to serve God. You have got to serve God.
Amen.
Don't serve man. Don't serve the world. No. Don't serve traditions.
No.
Listen, traditions come and go. They have a right place, but do not serve traditions. Do not make a doctrine out of a tradition. Share the gospel. Walk in wisdom. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't be afraid of change. We're going to walk with a heavenly wisdom in the church and out of the church. I want us to get this in our spirits that this teaching, this sermon series, is going to help you in every aspect of your life. Be in a business meeting, as we stand here tonight. You'll be in a business meeting, and you'll get a check in the Holy Ghost about something. Where everyone else is like, let's do it. But you can't explain to them what you're feeling because they're not spirit-led. But the wisdom from above is pure and peaceful. You'll begin to feel that peace which passes understanding. You'll go home and tell your wife and say, I didn't go with the flow. I didn't take that client. I didn't make this decision. But because you're spirit-led, God will give you the peace which passeth understanding. Ephesians 5 tells us, and I close with this, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Why? Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Notice this. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Anybody know what the will of the Lord is? That you're saved.
Yeah.
That you're thankful.
Yep.
So two things in Scripture, that thankful and that we're saved. That's what God wants us to be saved.
Amen.
And He wants us to be thankful.
Yeah.